Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Before we take a look at the readings for this Sunday, which will be the 24th Sunday in Ordinary Time, before we take a look at those readings, I just want to reflect for a moment on today's feast, Our Lady of Sorrows. It falls right after it's positioned in the calendar to fall the next day, right after the feast of yesterday, the Exaltation of the Holy Cross. And this is our Blessed Mother's feast, Our Lady of Sorrows. And I just want to read to you this commentary because it's really worth pondering. And I'm taking this from Magnificat magazine. The Blessed Virgin was born to be the Mother of God. From the first moment of Mary's immaculate presence in her mother's womb, Our Lady has led us to her Son. From the cross, Christ commands, "Behold your mother." He said that to all of us, "Behold your mother." As the Savior's dying gift to us, Jesus leads us back to Mary. For we need the maternal closeness of the sorrowful mother to sustain us when overcome by the terrifying trials of life. Through Mary's compassionate presence at the cross, that event, as it recurs in our lives, becomes more deeply human, filling us with the courage to face life's sufferings, certain in the secure embrace of divine providence, that God gave us his mother to walk with us as she walked with her Son, as she did not leave him. So she walks with us in our times of suffering. That last sentence or two is my comment. Magnificat magazine concludes, whenever Mary loves us, she gives us Jesus. Whenever Mary loves us, she gives us Jesus. By obeying the Lord in our devout beholding of the Mother of God, we give Mary the chance to speak her yes to the Annunciation uttered from the cross. Think about that. Think about that. Mary is so closely connected to Jesus here, and each of us, in our struggles and our fears, the problems that we face, Jesus said to us from the cross, "Behold your mother." That's to you and to me as well as to those who were at the foot of the cross that terrible day. Behold your mother. He wants to give his mother to us to sustain us in our times of trial. Much more to be said on that in the coming programs, but let's take a look now at the readings for this Sunday, the 24th Sunday in Ordinary Time. First reading from the book of Sirach, chapter 27, verse 30, to chapter 28, verse 7. So 27:30 to 28:7. Wrath and anger are hateful things, yet the sinner hugs them tight. The vengeful will suffer the Lord's vengeance, for he remembers their sins in detail. Forgive your neighbor's injustice. Then when you pray, your own sins will be forgiven. Could anyone nourish anger against another and expect healing from the Lord? Could anyone refuse mercy to another like himself? Can he seek pardon for his own sins? If one who is but flesh cherishes wrath, who will forgive his sins? Remember your last days. It's important, brothers and sisters. Remember our last days when life is coming to an end. Set enmity aside. That's hatred. Put it aside. Give it up. Remember death and decay and cease from sin. Turn to the Lord. Stop carrying grudges. No matter how long you've carried them, you can give them up. Give them to Jesus. Let Jesus handle it. He's the perfect judge. He's the source of all justice. Give it up. Forgive. Wipe the slate clean. that you may be received into the kingdom. This reading concludes, think of the commandments, hate not your neighbor, remember the Most High's covenant, and overlook faults. Oh, that's hard for us. But you can do it in God's power. Psalm 101, the Lord is kind and merciful, slow to anger and rich in compassion. He will not always chide, nor does he keep his wrath forever. Not according to our sins does he deal with us, nor does he requite us according to our crimes. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so surpassing is his kindness toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, hear that, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he put our transgressions from us. When we ask forgiveness, they're gone. Brothers and sisters, hear me. When we seek forgiveness, our sins are forgiven by God. We don't have to carry them anymore. Some people think their sin is so great that God could never forgive them. God will always forgive if we come in repentance to him. Always. Sincere repentance, which means we turn from our evil ways or whatever we did. And we ask his pardon. And we launch into a new direction in life. We turn away from our sin. The second reading, Romans 14, verses 7 to 9. Brothers and sisters, none of us lives for oneself, and no one dies for oneself. For if we live, we live for the Lord, and if we die, we die for the Lord. So then, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For this is why Christ died and came to life, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. That he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. Draw near to him. He is your God. He knows you by name. He knows everything about you, even the things you've forgotten. He knows. And he loves you and desires that you be with him for all eternity. And the gospel is the gospel of Matthew, chapter 18, verses 21 to 35. Peter approached Jesus and asked him, Lord, if my brother sins against me, how often must I forgive? As many as seven times? And Jesus answered, I say to you, not seven times, but 77 times. That is why the kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who decided to settle accounts with his servants. When he began the accounting, a debtor was brought before him who owed him a huge amount. Since he had no way of paying it back, his master ordered him to be sold along with his wife, his children, all his property in payment of the debt. At that, the servant fell down, did him homage, and said, Be patient with me. I will pay you back in full. And look what happened here. Moved with compassion, the master of that servant let him go and forgave him the loan. How many times has God forgiven you? Look at the next verse here. When that servant had left, so he's just been forgiven now, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him a much smaller amount. He seized him and started to choke him, demanding, Pay back what you owe. Falling to his knees, his fellow servant begged him, Be patient with me. I will pay you back. He, in turn, had just asked for the same thing and been given forgiveness, but he's not going to forgive his neighbor here. He's been forgiven, and his neighbor's done the same thing, but the one who has been forgiven refuses to forgive another. That's what we do all the time, brothers and sisters, and God does not like it. God is displeased. We are freely forgiven by God when we come to him in the sacrament of reconciliation. We're freely, fully forgiven. And then we turn to another and refuse to forgive. You do not want to appear before the judgment seat of God with that on your conscience. Falling to his knees, his fellow servant begged him, "Be patient with me, and I will pay you back." But he refused. Instead, he had the fellow servant put in prison until he paid back the debt. Now, when his fellow servants saw what had happened, they were deeply disturbed, and they went to their master and reported the whole affair. So the master summons him and says to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you your entire debt because you begged me to. Should you not have had pity on your fellow servant as I had pity on you?" Are you squirming in your chairs right now as you're listening to this? This is something a lot of us do a lot of the time. We'll seek forgiveness for our sin, but by golly, we're not going to forgive anybody else. We can't live like that. It's hollow, it's empty, it's false, and it destroys. Forgive the one who has offended you. And in this whole area of suffering that I'm going to be speaking about in the next week or two, forgiveness or the lack of forgiveness is going to be one of the areas of suffering that I want to address again. Because I want you free. God wants you free. Grudges will eat you from the inside and destroy you. So we'll talk about what we do when we're dealing with that. We'll talk about how to become free. We'll talk about how to forgive. That's one of the areas I'm going to be speaking about, as I said before, in the next week or two. Jesus concludes this portion of the Gospels by saying, "So will my heavenly Father do to you." We'll be thrown into prison. We might be thrown into hell, depending on the content of our lack of forgiveness. It says here, "So will my heavenly Father do to you, unless each of you forgives your brother from your heart." Unless each of you forgives your brother from your heart. Over and over and over again as I travel, this is what I hear from people. Lack of forgiveness. Lack of willingness to give it and lack of willingness to receive it. We get ourselves all caught up in ourselves. And we become blind and deaf to the truth. Confess your sin, admit your sin, and you'll be set free. And then Jesus says, "Now go and do likewise with others." Come to him, all you who labor and are heavily burdened with your sin. Come to him, and God will forgive you and set you free. But that implies that we will go and do likewise. This gospel is a very important one. I urge you to read it over a number of times. Matthew 18, 21 to 35. Read it over. Because there's power right here in this word to help you to move forward. May God abundantly bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.